welcome to Unashamed, a Smut Lovers podcast, where we just want to talk about smut. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Kelsey.
And we are doing a read-along this week. We're actually going back and rereading a book that we've read from an author that we like. I like them, at least.
It's an author that we tread carefully with because... So anyways, we're rereading Sicko by Almo Jones because we realized that we never read Wicked by Almo Jones. Almo Jones, we've talked about quite a few times on the podcast because she is an author that we like, but there's an asterisk next to that because she has plenty of books that in the beginning she says, I don't do a trigger warning. My name should be a trigger warning enough. Like, if you can't handle it, don't read it, right? Like, basically. And the only book that I've seen of hers that has a trigger warning is the book that led me to discover that I actually do have some triggers. So, and it is a series that Courtney has not and will not read. It's the Elite Kings Club series. If you're interested in it, it is very, very dark. It is a very, very good series. The world building is top notch. Some of the best I've ever read. But if you do have any triggers or think that you could have any triggers, be warned. Because it does have some subjects in it that you just don't fucking see, even in pitch black books. So keep that in mind. But that's not what we're reading today. we are reading or rereading Sicko by Almo Jones. So we both read this together when it first came out in 2020. It is a book that lingers with you because I still remember what happens.
So I was confusing it with another one of Almo Jones's books, but I do remember some of the details of this one. Not a whole lot, like, but enough, if that makes sense. Like,
I remember quite a bit, actually. It's one of those books that has just stayed with me. I've never done a reread on it because I remember what happens. I don't remember all the hairy details, but I remember like all the big details. I remember quite a few different scenes from it still. So I'm going to have to really watch my tongue because I still remember who the bad guy is. And that's usually a point that goes away.
Yeah. I don't remember any of that. Like I said, I have like vague scenes and details in my brain, but as I read it, I'm sure I'll start remembering everything else. But so it looks like chapter 15 is our midway point. It's 47% for me, but chapter 16 is 55%. Okay. So
hold on, I gotta back it up because it has me at the end of the book on my Kindle. Chapter 15. Okay. And so let's talk about a little bit about what we can get from the blurb. It is like a stepbrother romance.
Foster brother thing.
Yeah, foster brother. And I don't think this is going to spoil anything, really. So she is like obsessed with him. She loves him. She, you know, he said he would always protect her. She spent all of her time with him. And then he leaves. And when he comes back, he's not the same person. And that's kind of like the gist of what happens. I think that's what the blurb talks about, too.
Once he leaves, bad things start happening to her, or the bad things start getting worse, whatever. The blurb kind of mentions that once he's gone, she goes through it. And then when he comes back, he's not the same person. And
he's in a motorcycle club. So for anybody who doesn't know what MC is, because there's a lot of people actually who don't know what that is, it's motorcycle club. When we're talking romance, that's what MC means.
He is. He's a backer.
So Okay, so I'm just going to quickly... Her author's note says she doesn't usually have trigger warnings. Her main genre is dark romance, so she's come to expect her readers just know that they're getting something dark and twisted when they flip the first page of an Amo Jones book. This book is different. This is, quote-unquote, my level of dark romance. It is dark. It will have you squirm in some places, but not the way you're probably used to or expect. There are scenes within these pages that will be uncomfortable for you to read. I didn't water anything down. I wrote these characters as authentically as possible because you, the reader, deserve that. I didn't sugarcoat something to make it easier to digest. I drowned every scene in tequila, and just like a shot of Patron, it needs to be swallowed before you feel its effects. I love Patron, in case anybody didn't know that about me. Please don't take this warning lightly. These characters are nothing like I have written before. And this story is not one I ever experienced. This book is dark, but every single word and scene that is in here is for a reason. I'm not here for shock value. This is just a story that needs to be told in the art it has been displayed in. If you're still here, I guess you're still wanting to read, so by all means. Which, yes, as an anybody who's an Amo Jones fan knows how true that author's note is. She's an author that I definitely say it's very important to read her author's notes because you will glean a lot of insight from them. Another thing about Amo Jones is that she's not necessarily a shock factor author. She's a dark author, but it is for a reason. All of her books are done very intentionally and for the rest of the story to continue on the way that it was to. So I can appreciate that. I love being a shock factor, but we know that. Charity, hello. But yeah, this is not that. So I don't know. I'm ready to dive in.
Me too. I'm so excited. Ready to see how it all shakes out. Want to remember all of that. So for those of you reading along with us, go ahead and go to chapter 15 and come back. Pause here.
Okay, we're back.
Yes. I read over a little bit, but I think I remember where we stopped.
I forgot how much I loved this book.
Yeah, it's so good. It took me a minute to like start remembering things. But I remember really liking it.
I have a very crisp recollection of what is going on. Unfortunately, sometimes when you're rereading a book, it's nice to be like surprised all over again, but this book is very good, so I'm very much enjoying the reread. However, I do remember everything that's happened so far.
Okay, so we start with,
it's like the basketball court scene where they introduce Royce and his two friends, Storm and Orson. And then it's like an argument over a phone and a boy, and blah, blah, blah. They're teenagers. Things are still mainly innocent at that point, comparatively, anyways. And he says, well, you're going to go on the boat with us. We're going to go to a party at Orson's cave. And so they spend the day on the boat. They go to Orson's house, which is on an island, party. A fight happens. He almost kills somebody. He gets stabbed. And they come back to land. And basically, after he gets out of surgery and he gets better, he leaves.
Yeah, so he gets a little, like, weird and sketchy with her, like, where he won't really talk to her or anything. And he leaves. And there's one short chapter in between him leaving and the present day. And so it says that she can't find out anything. I have to leave for her. But then he comes back years later and he hates her for some reason. And I was so confused about it. And I think I know what's going to happen, but I don't know if I think I know because I remember or I'm just a really fucking good guesser, which I'm not going to lie to you guys. In the past, I've not been the best guesser.
Here's one thing I don't exactly remember. I don't remember the exact details leading to him leaving. Like, I don't remember the big reveal about that. As far as she goes, so during the 4 years while he was gone, she has been trained to be a sex slave for James. Now, I know who James is, and Courtney remembered who James is, so we're not going to say who James is.
Yes, and so he's been raping her since she was, like, 15 years old, right after Royce leaves, it starts. And then, yeah, so for the past 4 years, she's being trained. Royce knows the reputation of the man, of James. He doesn't know his identity, but he knows his reputation because Royce will get sent videos throughout the years of James breaking his pets, essentially.
Well, not just Royce getting videos. It's okay. Well, you just gave away a big fucking thing, actually. Because that has not been revealed.
It was in that.
Nope. Not yet.
Yeah, because he got sent a video and he said, and then he's like, what are you going to do?
He got sent a video from Kay Diamond.
Are they not?
Spoiler, Kay Diamond and James could be the same person. That has not come up yet. I feel like there was enough hints that we could get to that conclusion. Did I lose you? Can you hear me? God damn it, Courtney. Come back. I miss you already. Hello, Courtney. I texted you asking if you could hear me. Of course, you drop a bomb and then go quiet. Can you hear me? I cannot hear you. That didn't help. All right, I'm gonna leave the studio. We can try again.
Okay, we're back after some technical difficulties, and I threw down some spoilers that apparently weren't supposed to be spoiled yet. So,
yeah. So I'm gonna tell this part. I'm just kidding.
Well, okay, I can do it without spoiling it.
I know, I was just kidding.
So anyway, so she's being trained as a sex slave to this James guy, and simultaneously, while this is happening, the club is having issues running something. They're like in kind of in business with Royce's dad, and he's having issues with, like, I think it's like a border. The borders, like, getting their shipment through.
Yeah. Oh, this is not a spoiler, but he's definitely fucking lying.
Yeah. No, he's definitely, and doing it badly for some reason. But Royce is like, oh, it's just because my dad's kind of a cunt. But, like, you know, he's not everybody's cup of tea, but the whole club hates him. But I'm going to give him a pass, which, you know, whatever. Men are idiots. But anywho, Royce got sent a video of some girl with some sex trafficker.
So Kay
now,
Diamond.
I shouldn't even say this part because now it sounds too suggestive. I'm just going to say. Okay. Anyway.
Kay Diamond is what we found out right before the halfway point is a sex trafficker with a reputation that everybody knows. If he wants to blackmail you, he will send you a video, usually of your mother, sister, whatever, close female to you. And you have to pay to buy her back, basically. And that's how Kay Diamond operates. And if you get sent a video of a man in a ski mask with a woman, you can assume that you are about to be blackmailed. So Royce just got a video from Kay Diamond of an unknown woman because it was of the back of her, so he could not recognize who she was. And he's like, well, this is just some random woman. I'm not going to let him blackmail me. He can send me her body and I'll put it in the freezer. Right. So that's basically the recap of what's going on at the halfway point. So we got a video from Kay Diamond suggesting that Royce is about to be blackmailed. We have the dad who is in business with him with some shipments and is doing something shady, and they've caught on to it. We have Jade, who has been trained for James being a sex slave for the past 4 years. And then we've got the motorcycle club, who's starting to come up a little bit more. And then also the sex club, which is kind of a big thing. They did one trip to the sex club and he shoved her into a dark room and she had sex with two men who weren't James and she enjoyed it. So that was kind of a memorable piece of this book. And then there's one other thing I want to talk about. Preparing for the next episode, which is going to be Wicked's book, I am very intrigued. I forgot about Wicked.
Yeah. So, yeah, Wicked is one of the brothers in the club, and he's Jade. First of all, I really like how in this book, because normally when you see books with like the heroine and all of that, they don't really acknowledge like how attractive the outside characters are. Jade talks up all of the men. She's like, oh, this guy's super fucking hot.
Like, Jones is really good at that. Like, yeah, you haven't read her Elite King series, but that series is, like, very realistic as far as, like,
yeah, she talks like a real person. Like, because normally you see all the other heroines are like, oh, nobody could compare. Like, no, there's other attractive men out there. Just because you personally like one flavor doesn't mean that all the other flavors aren't delicious, too. But, yeah, so Wicked is one of the brothers. He doesn't talk a lot, but he's, like, super hot. Which, are there side stories that have Storm and Orson? Because Orson's story, it's very briefly mentioned, but Orson has this story.
No. God damn it, Courtney. You're gone. So I'm just going to wrap it up. I'm going to just. No, you're not hanging out with me right now. I'm just going to wrap it up because I don't know. You can still hear me, I'm assuming. So I lost you again. Okay. So can you not hear me? It's my mic. I can hear. Okay, so I'm going to just wrap it up then. So we had some technical difficulties again. I don't know where we left off. Basically, Courtney was talking about Orson and Storm, and that it was briefly mentioned that there is a story as far as Orson is concerned. And shit, I'm getting a phone. I might have to answer that. This is a chaotic recording right now. I have to put myself on mute. I have to answer that call. Hold on.
Oh, am I back? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome. Okay, I think I fixed it. I'm just on my computer mic, so it might not be as good, but so technical difficulties are wrapped up, at least for now.
Yeah, Mike called me because he's at the pharmacy and there's been issues with my prescription. So I was like, fuck, like I need to answer this. And then he's like, no, I'm just waiting in line. I was like, okay, well, I have to go.
Yeah, we're almost done, I think. So this is the wrap up. So yeah, I was just wondering if perhaps Orson and his story got their own book.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's possible.
So it was just a curiosity. I mean, it doesn't matter either way. This one is really good. I remember liking it. And as I'm remembering more details, I do enjoy it.
Yeah, let's wrap it up because who knows what is going to come from either of our sides at this point. Like,
we wait too long.
This is so chaotic. Hopefully editing is decent for you guys because on our ends, it's been absolutely insane for like a 10-minute clip. Okay, so if you are reading along with us, go ahead and read till the end of Sicko and then come back. Pause here. Okay, we're back.
Yes. So I don't think I remember this book the way I thought I did. I thought totally different things were going to happen. I think I was confusing two of her books.
I definitely remembered it exactly how it happened.
I feel like because you said in the last part, I was dropping spoilers in the last part, I'll have them cut out when by the time you guys are listening to this. But as you read the second half of the book, it is literally the most obvious thing in the world. I feel like it wasn't a huge reveal when, you know, like maybe I remembered, but I feel like it was so obvious just from context clues alone who the villain was going to be.
I felt like this time reading it, it wasn't that big of a reveal. But the first time I read it, I definitely thought that, like, it definitely threw me for a loop the first time I read it. It was like one of those just like context, because they don't really like come out and just say it. It's like a context
clue. But she almost does in multiple scenes. Like there's the one, I think it's like right after we go back from the midway point in the book. She's like, so they have sex for the first time. And when they're done, she's like, he is going to feel so guilty for leaving me in that house with him, and he's gonna feel so guilty when he finds out what happened after he left, and like I'm just gonna keep this feeling of us together like in my mind for now, because as soon as he finds out, like he's gonna feel. And I was like, well yeah, because it's his dad, like obviously, like no, it was so fucking obvious that one scene.
That part I did not catch until the end the last time I read this. This time I remembered like the whole time, but the last time I was definitely caught off guard.
I feel like I don't know if I was or not, because I literally cannot remember reading this book. Like I can, you know, I knew some of the details, but I feel like I completely mistook it for a different book. She has another one. I think there's like skateboards involved, and then the guy has a sister, but not like a sister he's fucking. It's a different book anyway, but so all I'm saying is that I felt like it was super obvious, and maybe it's because like in the back of my mind I did know, but I did not remember this book really all that well. Like the second half on, I was like, this is new. Like oh, I was like, wait, there's an organization where the women are all together and her mom's alive. I was fucking flabbergasted, you guys. I was just beguiled at this story. Were
certain parts that it took me a second to be like, oh, okay. And one of them was like the submarine scene with her mom. But I remembered the mom was alive. I remembered like once he said like, I need to talk to Lion, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Like Lion's a dad, like the mom's alive, like all of that, like I remembered. But For the most part, yeah. Like, this book was very fresh in my memory, which is weird because it's been almost 4 years since we read it last. And usually after I read a book, it goes away. Like, I can remember how it made me feel, but I don't remember, like, the plot-by-plot storyline. This book has always just stuck with me.
Yeah. So, basically, I mean, it comes down to, so that from the midway point, so obviously someone was hurting her. That someone was James, aka her foster dad, for those of you not reading along, which I don't know why you wouldn't. This is a fantastic book. But her foster dad is James. He was the one hurting her and, like, training her as a sex slave. Also, he is K Diamond too. He is the infamous sex trafficker. So Royce is trying to get it out of her, not successfully, right? And then she kind of, like, makes the decision that she's going to tell him at some point, but instead she gets called by, I'm just going to call him James because it's easier in my brain to make the details make sense. Anyways, she gets called by James. She has to go back to the La Artisan. It's like this sex club tower thing. And she goes to the fourth floor where there's, like, a bunch of guys there. Four guys. It's all four. And they figure out who it is. And it's, like, her, Royce, Storm, and Orson, which she was like, wait, you're married. And anyway, and then also Wicked. So they're like, who the hell is that guy? Bonnie, who is Lions, he's the president of the motorcycle club. The clubhouse gets shot up sometime after that. Bonnie dies, which works out in the end because it turns out that Jade's mom was actually, like, the first girl that James took and, like, raised up to be a sex slave. She was relatively young, I'm assuming. And he, like, when she got pregnant with Lion, he tried to kill her or, like, whatever. She faked her death and got away from him. But he took Jade and raised her essentially to do the same thing. But he couldn't until he got rid of Royce and the other two boys. So that's why when she was 15, they were sent away. They were, like, threatened that if they ever came back or made contact with their families, or at least, like, Jade and I'm assuming Royce's mom, then he would take her and do that to her. But he was doing it anyway. And in the background of all of this, you've got Jade. Wicked has a sister, by the way, who was also sold into sex trafficking, presumed dead. And Jade's mom and a bunch of other, like, saved trafficked women who have this little shadow business of getting all of these trafficked kids out and, you know, people and, you know, beating James. It's a fucking whole lot. The second half is a lot.
Yeah. And then, so during the big submarine reveal where Olivia is alive, Poppy's alive, Jade's been getting people out, there's a secret organization, whatever. During this whole big reveal, the women say, like, hey, you can't kill him. Like, not yet. You can't kill him because we need him to identify his buyers. So they keep him alive long enough to identify the buyers. And then Isaac, who was an undercover the whole time, and he was also James's right-hand man, he gets Royce in to, well, Royce and Lion and Wicked together kill him at the end. And then you finally learn what it means to rip someone.
Oh, yeah. The descriptions are, like, I read a lot of serial killer books. We read the Unhinged Cain or whatever.
And those descriptions were so intense.
Yeah. We've read some pretty intense gore scenes in some of these books. Anybody who is looking for that type of, like, gory stuff, Yolanda Olson.
Yeah.
is a huge gore, and you get a good amount of description with it if that's your jam. But yeah.
She is not a romance author.
No. We started our whole podcast doing, well, not started, but I think when we started doing read-alongs, it was Yolanda Olson.
And it was so not horrible. What we signed up for.
Yeah. And then we just kept going. We were like, well, but now this book.
So if you want to hear two women get just completely caught off guard, those are good episodes to listen to. Any of our Yolanda Olson episodes. Our very first read-alongs. We were like, what the fuck is this?
It was something, all right. So yeah, but no, it was a really good book. I'm excited. I haven't read the blurb for the next book because we're doing this in a duet for two episodes. The next book is going to be focused on Wicked, who is the MC brother to Royce and also one of the four who run, co-own, whatever. It's the French name, L'Artisant. I don't speak French. I'm sorry, guys. Anybody who does is welcome to trash talk my foreign language and English language skills. So
that's why I don't even try with some words. I'm just like, I'll let Courtney either get it right or butcher it, and I won't know.
Yeah, I tried learning. I did Duolingo for so long, and I still, it's so wrong.
So anyways, if you are interested in hearing the read-along for Wicked, then come back next week. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye, guys.